RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Northeast correspondents are Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, a.k.a. us, the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations and the co-hosts of the Campground of the Week and RV Family Travel Atlas podcasts. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you so very much. It's good to be here talking about what may be your favorite campground ever in the whole entire wide, wide world.
It may be, and I'm working through it. Yeah. I'm working through trying to figure that out. Can you take me back to the Pacific Northwest?
I know you want to go back. You just mentioned, like, maybe we could have a do-over. We could go back and do it all again.
It was a dream trip for me.
Yeah. Now,
it doesn't feel real anymore.
To our listeners, if you're wondering what trip we're talking about, we did a 25-day Pacific Northwest adventure this summer, and we have been talking all about it over on our RV Family Travel Atlas podcast, and then also this, our Campground of the Week podcast. This is a paired episode. This week, we are reviewing the Oceanside Beachfront RV Resort, which is in Charleston, Oregon, just south of Coos Bay on the Oregon coast. And if you want to hear all about the rest of this area, you can head on over to episode 154 of RV Family Travel Atlas and hear what we did, the hikes we went on, and what we ate in this area.
So we're pairing episodes as we cover this whole big Pacific Northwest adventure. So double your pleasure. Go over, listen to that podcast as well to see what we did. Before we dive into our review of the Oceanside Beachfront RV Resort, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts.
Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you are an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comforts of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities.
And now is the time to book those fall weekend getaways, and we're not kidding you, people.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Halloween-themed weekends are more popular than ever, and frankly, within the industry, some people say they're more popular than the 4th of July, as crazy as that sounds. And they're selling out fast. So if you want to experience the fun of trick-or-treating at the campground, hay rides, pumpkin painting, and corn mazes, check out what the Jellystones near you are offering during the fall camping season. Visit campjellystone.com to find a Jellystone park near you, and make sure you say hello to Yogi and Boo Boo.
Give them a hug. Just go right ahead. Give them all little hugs. All right. Now, again, we're reviewing the Oceanside Beachfront RV Resort, which is in Charleston, Oregon. It's just south of Coos Bay on the Oregon coast.
Now, Southern Oregon.
Exactly. This is south of the Oregon Dunes National Recreation Area. I would say about 20 minutes south to it. Also, the Charleston Docks are just about 5 minutes north, and that's an attraction for some people. And then there's Bandon, which is a nice little Oregon coastal touristy town, and that's about 30 minutes to the south. We're also about 4 hours away from Portland.
And we know we have Portland listeners, and if this campground was 4 hours away from me, and I lived in the Portland area, I would be going here seasonally.
You'd be going there next week.
Oh, I'd be going here I'd be camping here 4 times a year, probably.
Yeah, this would be our getaway. Like if we had a long weekend or something, for sure. Now we'll talk about what is so special about this. Now this is another Highway West Vacations property. We talked about our very first Highway West Vacation campground that we stayed at last week,
Silver Cove,
right
in Silver Lake, Washington, near Mount St. Helens.
Right, and we were invited out to see some of these properties out there, and we expected good things because we had our correspondents tell us they were great properties. We've seen reviews that are saying they're great properties. Well, this is another one that actually exceeded our expectations.
Kate Dunbar has been raving about Flying Flags for the last 2 years, and we were excited to get out and visit some of these Highway West properties, and man, did they do it right. So, privately owned campground. It is on the beach, coastal Oregon. It is gorgeous. Stephanie, what was the size and the feel and the look of the campground?
It's a smaller campground. It really only has about 60 RV sites, and we always have I don't know if you agree with me if that's a small campground.
No, it's a small campground.
I think it is.
100%.
Yeah. Right, so there's not a ton of sites. It feels pretty cozy. There's a part up front when you first drive in that has the camp store and some sites, I would say maybe 10 or 15 sites up front. And then you have to drive around a little bend.
And some cabins up front as well. Some cabin options and the seafood shack, which we're going to talk about for like 40 minutes.
But the majority of the RV sites are really right near the beach in this sort of like two little loop areas, almost shaped like a little heart, right? Nestled into the cliffside on the beach.
Yeah, and the RV sites are not right on the beach, but they are super close. They are steps away from the beach. You just have like a dune there, basically. And some of the sites are mighty close. You can hear the ocean and the waves breaking from all of the sites. But there are then tent camping sites and safari sites right on the beach.
Right. So this Highway West Vacations property does have a focus on alternate accommodations, just like Silver Cove, just like a lot of their other properties. What they do is they like to have a twist, not just RV sites. They say, hey, you can also stay in this Airstream, or you can also stay in this vintage camper, or this sort of more park model-y cabin, right? They have a lot of different types of
How about a safari tent
right
on the ocean, which is what we stayed in.
Yeah.
And it was the coolest single accommodation we've ever had at any campground anywhere.
Right. It was so unique. And this is becoming a lot more trendy. So you're seeing these pop up at different campgrounds. But this was the first one that we have ever stayed at. And it really was a special experience.
Some people call it a glamping tent. Okay. It's a safari tent here. It had double bunk beds. All right. It had a double bed. Then it had bunks separately,
right,
and a futon. So all five of us were fine to sleep in there. It had a wardrobe, a huge dining table and chairs. It had outside patio furniture. And then it also had Adirondack chairs around a fire pit, which was separate from the front porch. But the main event here is that you unzip the safari tent. You walk in on one end. And then as you walk towards the other end, you unzip the other end, you open it up, and there is the Pacific Ocean in all of its glory. Right in front of you.
We've camped on the beach before. We've never had a campsite like this, because when you unzip it and you have this beautiful patio there with like patio furniture and everything, this beautiful Oregon cliff, you know, this beach cliff is right there, and the ocean is right in front of you, and the waves are crashing, and you're just like, this is something you see in magazines. I can't believe I'm here.
And that's why I'm sort of trying to figure out, like, is this my favorite campground ever? Because of the beach right out front. So you have this gorgeous semi-private beach right out front. And to the left, like Stephanie said, there's this sort of cliff there. And this cliff runs right down to the ocean. And then when you walk around that cliff, there's like a hidden cove beach right around the corner. And you can climb over the cliff to get to it at high tide, or at low tide, you can walk right around.
Right.
So this is the type of gorgeous beach you would stop and visit anyway, even if there was not a campground there. And it just so happens that this is the beach right in front of the campground.
Now, we did post a 1 minute video of our safari tent on Instagram. I'll put it into the show notes, or you can just head over there to our Instagram or Facebook and look at it and watch it. You'll actually see the inside. But, you know,
a lot of the questions that were asked, a lot of people were saying, is there a bathroom there? So I want to be super clear. This is tent camping. It's a tent. There are no amenities in terms of electric or bathroom, right? It's like you are tent camping, except you have a really fancy tent.
A clean bathhouse was close mm-hmm. by.
Yep.
Now, if this campground were close to where we live, I would have packed our Thetford
right.
porta potty in the car and brought it, and that would have been actually awesome to have with us. But we flew, and we did not fly with the Thetford porta potty.
What would have been awesome to have with us is all of our tent camping stuff, and we knew that. Like we knew we were going to be on a trip that wasn't carting around our Coleman propane stove. So it was like, okay, oh well, we're going to try it anyway. So, but if you are nearby and you can get out that camping stuff, your tent camping gear, and go and rent this glamping tent, you will never
forget
it.
Bring a luggable low, like one of those $20 toilets or the Thetford toilet. This was fantastic. And honestly, I think some of you are probably wondering, how much does this cost, right? It sounds really luxurious and expensive. It was less than $100 a night. I mean, this is a great bargain. Mm-hmm. In camping. And a family of five is fine. A family of four here is awesome. Everybody right. has a bed. As a family of five, we were totally fine. Wesley slept in our bed with us.
Because that's what always ends up happening
anyway. But the futon was comfortable, and a fifth person could have been on the futon anyway. So we talked to other people staying in the other safari tent, which is also super, super close to the beach. Not that immediate ocean view that we had in safari tent number 34. Safari tent number 32 is really close to the beach. So we talked to the people staying in there, and they were like, this is amazing. Like, this is such a bargain price for such a luxurious, fun accommodation. So if you can rent the safari tent, man, even if you have an RV, I might consider ditching it, doing a romantic weekend or taking the kids for a little bit of a safari tent adventure and having that ocean view. It was incredible.
All right. Now let's dive into the RV sites, because so many of you are going to be interested in those. So the RV sites are a mixture of pull-throughs and back-ins. You've got both. Now all are full hookup, and most offer 30, 50 amp. There's a handful of only 30 amp sites up at the front of the
campground. That are up near the camp store, but almost everything is a 30, 50 full hookup. These were really nice sites. Highway West is not racking and stacking the RV sites and putting them right on top of each other like we did see at some other private campgrounds in the Pacific Northwest. These were decent sized sites with some space in between you and the next RV. And if you learn the campground a little bit well and you figure out really particularly some nice sites like maybe 64 or 38, there are some sites that actually are very private and might only have an RV on one side.
I think this is one of those campgrounds where your favorite site is going to vary depending on what you're looking for. Like some of the sites were super private and tucked away over to the side against like the big cliff side. Then other sites were really located well right next to the beach entry, but you're going to have obviously more foot traffic by your site if you're there. So,
and then there was a row of pull-throughs as well, which had a bunch of big rigs like Winnebagos and Class A's. I wouldn't say those were private sites, but those were nice sites for big motorhomes.
And they were probably happy to have them. So I really liked sites 39 through 47, which is sort of along the outer edge of one of the loops that is closest to the beach. I really felt like they had, they were back-ins, they had a good amount of space on them, and they had that easy access to the beach.
I have a picture of site 45 on our Instagram account. If you dig back a little bit, and it shows you the RV and the site and then the pathway that leads right up to the beach, just to give you an idea of what those sites look like.
Now, although there is a bathhouse up by the front of the campground where there's the camp store and a few RV sites, for the majority of the RV sites, there is simply one bathhouse. Now, it was clean, and we used it the entire time we were there because we had a tent with no bathroom. And we showered a lot, obviously, because it's beach camping, and we never had a problem getting a shower. However, I will say that there was just that one bathhouse, and there's sites right near the bathhouses. If you are sensitive, again, to foot traffic, you wouldn't want a site right near there because a lot of people are going to be using that.
And to be crystal clear, there's a bathhouse in the front section near the camp store, and then there's this bathhouse that covers all of these RV sites up near the beach. Okay, Stephanie, so how much does it cost to camp at the Oceanside Beachfront RV Resort?
You know, for us Northeasterners, this is bargain basement pricing, okay? $54 to $68 for these RV sites, depending on the day of the week. So the prices are a little higher on the weekends and then also the time of the year. This is another campground that is open year-round. You can camp here all year, but the prices are going to be a little lower out of peak season.
The secret's getting out on this one, too. As we were there, we kept seeing people going and reserving their site for next summer, right? So as Stephanie mentioned, this is the type of place where people come. They love their site. They book their same site for the next summer. But this is a great price. I mean, in the Northeast, this campground's $100 a night.
This is the kind of place also where people kind of show up. I think that that's a little more part of the RV culture out in Oregon for sure. People kind of motoring down, you know, the coast and saying, hey, we're going to stop here, but we don't have reservations. We don't know what night we're going to get there. And people were showing up when we were there and they were learning that it was sold out. So it really is filling up. It is selling out. So if you want to stay here, make sure you make reservations.
Okay, we're going to talk about all the other things that the campground has in a second, including some really good food right on site. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Fun and family. It's what Jayco has been focused on for generations. From the first camping trailer that rolled off the production line on founder Lloyd Bontrager's farm in 1968 to today, where Jayco is building everything from camping trailers up to Class A motorhomes. With a blend of old world Amish craftsmanship and innovative technology, Jayco builds more value into their RVs than any other manufacturer in the industry, with more standard features and the best 2-year limited warranty offered. Visit Jayco's website, jayco.com, or your closest Jayco dealer for more info. Jayco, generations of family fun.
And I missed our Jayco Octane toy hauler here at this campground, because there were a bunch of toy haulers here and people that had their canoes and their kayaks and their SUPs to bring right down on the beach. So let's talk about amenities at the campground. A really charming camp store. Free coffee, free coffee, free coffee.
That's all you need to know.
Great branded Highway West merchandise, other basics. Every basic,
right.
The basics that you need.
Some ketchup, mustard, things like that.
All milk. The stuff you need for s'mores, mm-hmm. Milk, all that stuff. And also just some charming kind of local gifts as well. And everyone in this camp store was magnificently welcoming and friendly. So a big shout out to Barnabas and the whole rest of the crew. And of course, I remember Barnabas's name because his name is Barnabas.
Because it stood out. But you know who I remember? Linda, who every single time we went into the camp store gave me another great recommendation for what we were going to do or see in that area. This was, again, the second Highway West vacation property that we experienced with some of the best camp workers that we've ever interacted with. And we walked away from this trip saying that's not a mistake. You know, they hire people that fit the customer service model of just that friendly, authentic interaction.
And more of a hotel industry standard, I think, for the customer service.
They were being concierge. And again, not just for us, we saw them interacting with every other customer like this. Every other guest was getting, you know, personalized information about what to do in the area. It was really quite lovely.
Okay, some other things you're going to see there. There's a fish cleaning station, because obviously it's a great place to go fishing. Crab cleaning. There's a cook station. You can borrow crab nets.
All right, so let's just stop there and explain what that means, because it's really special. They have crab nets. The docks down up in Charleston, right up the road, are free for the public and open to the public. You can just walk onto the docks and drop your crab, you know, traps or your crab nets right into the water there. And when you haul it up, as long as you have a crabbing license, which you can get right there at the docks, you can make it for dinner. So not only do they have the nets there for you to borrow to go and to go crabbing, but then when you bring back your crabs, they have a station that you can clean your crabs at, and they have the whole crab pot that you can cook it. They have the propane right there.
Did they actually have cages? They had crab cages too.
They
right?
had the hoop
nets. Oh, the net version.
Which
some people say
apparently are better out there for these
for catching these bay crabs. And we learned that the hard way because me and you both used traps growing up.
And the woman, the solo woman next to us who was crabbing using one of those more net setups was like killing it, getting all kinds of crabs.
And she was so sweet and coming over and talking. And I was like, we've got this trap. She's like, yeah, the hoop nets are better. And if we had used the ones at the campground, which we just didn't because we weren't going crabbing right from being at the campground. We just decided to stop by the docks and rent some traps right there. I think we would have done a lot better with those hoops.
I think I offered that lady a donut, didn't
but
I?
You can cook them right there so you don't have to have your own big steamer pot or whatever with you. And I thought that that was so amazing.
So there also were nice clean laundry facilities there. Cable was available if you wanted it for your RV. The Wi-Fi was adequate up by the camp store. It was definitely weaker on the beachfront. Though if you actually walked down onto the beach, you could definitely get a signal. Cell signal overall was pretty good. Now, they had a dog run area as opposed to like a fenced-in doggy park.
Yeah, and this was one of those campgrounds that seemed to be very friendly towards people who were a little more, I don't know, dog, like, people could bring their dogs over to the dog run and let their dog be off leash in that big open area. And that seemed to be a part of the culture there, which was very nice and interesting to see. Like, Maggie would have fit in quite well there because she is one of those dogs that can run very well off leash and then just come when we whistle.
And it was like a huge open field, like the size of a baseball field.
Oh, yeah, it was absolutely enormous. And people were using it all the time. And all the dogs, like, were well socialized and just kind of used to that, you could tell.
All right, now there were not organized activities, and you know, if there were, we may have participated in them certainly. We spent our time on the beach at this campground. We were playing wiffle ball and catch and just relaxing and getting our feet wet.
Tide pooling.
It's just a natural environment to go and explore. And that's sort of your playground. And I didn't feel the need for organized activities here. But there is this highlight there. The on-site restaurant was absolutely amazing. Terrific food.
Right. So this was the Coos Bay Crab Company. And this was a phenomenal top-notch restaurant that was right there on site. We had our first meal there, I think at dinner time, the very first day we arrived. And I pretty much decided that I wanted to just eat dinner there every single night that we were there, and I was good.
And we had to talk about this restaurant on the other podcast as well because we went through all our food options. We did eat here three times or maybe four times. The best fish and chips I've ever had. It was cute. It was cozy. There was nice outdoor seating. And there was that table with the fire pit where you could light the fire at the table, which we did actually every time we ate there. And it kind of warmed things up because it is a little chilly on the beach in Oregon in the summer.
And if you don't want to go and catch your own crabs, you can get the large whole crabs here cooked for you. So if you want to just skip right to the good part, you can do that. Also, they have some non-fish items for maybe the non-fish eater or the kids in your bunch. Like, they did have like cheeseburgers and things like that, which is always nice to have that. However, my absolute favorite was the clam chowder bread bowl. Big old bread bowl just filled with yummy clam chowder. It was great.
Big old bread bowl for like $8.
Like that. That's all I would have eaten the entire time we were there, I think. But the fish and chips were phenomenal. We raved on and on about them on the other podcast. So we don't want to do double duty if you already heard that.
Any insider details to help our listeners really enjoy their stay at Oceanside Beachfront RV Resort? I don't think they're going to need any help to have fun, but anything they need to know?
Well, we did need help to have fun, actually, because I don't think that our trip would have been half as good if we hadn't really talked with the camp workers and the staff at this campground. And I would say you're doing yourself a great disservice if you do not chat it up with the people who are staying there and find out their favorite little haunts and restaurants, even because we talked about the Miller's Sports Bar and Grill that we went to and on the other podcast. And, you know, honestly, it just looked like a sports bar. So if we had been out and about looking for a place to eat,
it looked like a tourist trap, but it wasn't a tourist
trap. I probably wouldn't have gone there. I would have been like, yeah, that doesn't look so much like it. But because we had the personal recommendations from people, we were like, well, okay, let's go. They said somebody had told us that's my favorite place to eat. So I'm like, well, okay, let's try it.
Agreed.
Yeah. So that was a huge bonus for us. And I really recommend that you definitely chat with the locals.
The other insider detail here is, as I mentioned before, at low tide, you can walk around to the hidden cove to the left of the campground, and then you can walk across that beach, climb up on some rocks there, and then take that stretch of cliff out as far as you can possibly go. And there are gorgeous tide pools all along the way. It was a big adventure, a really fun hike with the kids right there, starting right from the campground.
Yeah, and our boys were kind of like tide pooling experts by this time because we had done that so much when we had been up in Olympic National Park. So they had gotten sort of used to finding like the sea stars and everything. And so they were really, you know, gangbusters to go out there and to do the sea anemones and the sea stars and to spot them all. And that became a very fun thing for them. So it was good. Now,
nobody's,
we know,
perfect.
Although you should, I think you should probably give a pass to your like very favorite campground in the entire world.
It's my very favorite campground location.
Right.
You know, the campground is amazing. The location was breathtaking. But nobody was perfect.
Right.
So what would you like to see improved?
So I alluded to this earlier in the podcast, but like I said, even though there are two bathhouses, one towards the front, the majority of RV sites and tent sites are served by one main bathhouse right smack dab in the middle of those two main RV places. And I just felt like that's a lot. To be, you know, a lot of sites to be using one bathhouse.
Or so, they could make that one bigger, maybe.
I kind of felt like really one could be closer to like more of the tent sites and everything, because of course tenters are probably using them a little bit more. So, you know, that might have been a nice thing. Now, another suggestion that I had is there's this really large yurt there, right in the middle near the bathhouse. And that was reserved for like groups or events. People could rent it out and use it. Now, I really felt like a campground like this could have been served well by having a communal gathering place. So like to open that up to just common usage, like a common room with maybe
ping pong table.
Not video games, but
air hockey, ping pong table, pool table. And particularly because it's the Oregon coast and even in the summer, it can get a little chilly.
Right.
And then certainly, apparently it rains a lot in the
Pacific even Northwest. Misty, you know, that
right.
kind
so
of thing.
So to have an indoor space where you could go, maybe there's some couches and magazines and ping pong, that would be an awesome addition. It would be easy for them.
And I feel like
as
it's
you
right there.
They have the space already.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think Barnabas mentioned that he'd been pushing for that, or somebody working there was like, yeah, I want to turn that into a communal space
and have it more of
a common area. So they have it right there.
Yeah.
And there's maybe room to make a building that would have that more guest.
Sure. But we were there for, you know, 5 days in the middle of the summer and it wasn't used. And I just feel like that's the kind of spot that could be highly utilized by guests in all of the different seasons that this campground's open. So that's my little tip. Now, thank you so much to Oceanside Beachfront RV Resort for having us and for hosting us in this amazing safari tent. It was truly an experience that I feel like we will never forget.
And thank you to whatever crazy fool decided to put two safari tents up on the beach here. I mean, somebody somewhere along the line was like, let's put a safari tent on the ocean and charge less than $100 a night for it and give people this like amazing outdoor experience. It was really, really unique and something that maybe we'll never get another chance in our lives to do again. I don't know. I want to go back here so bad it hurts.
And thank you also to Progressive. Your RV is very different from your car, which is exactly why you need to get specialized RV insurance coverage instead of insuring under your auto policy. With specialized coverages, you're even more protected on the road. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV.
And thank you so much to Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, head on over to jayco.com, and the 2018s are starting to show up on their website. And also to Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts for sponsoring Campground of the Week. And we will see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.